Hello, everyone, and welcome to this brand new series that I am calling Kamen Rider Working Title. And working title because I'm still trying to figure out a title, so it's just working title for right now. But this show is going to be covering the new Kamen Rider Zetsu show that just started airing. Because I just actually finished Kamen Rider Gav when that finished, and that show was awesome. Not gonna lie, so that was awesome. And because this is a brand new Kamen Rider show, I figured, why not just cover it? And, this was a really good start, I think. Now, I'll be honest, I'll actually give my Kamen Rider knowledge, which isn't a whole lot.
There's a show called Ranger Danger, a podcast called Ranger Danger, hosted by Michael Basudel and Matt Groom. And I got to give props to them, because if it wasn't for them, I don't think I ever would have watched Kamen Rider. I've known about Kamen Rider for some time. It's always been a show that has been, I guess, on my radar, just never, I wouldn't say I never had any interest. I've always had, I mean, I'm a Power Rangers fan. I've been a Power Rangers fan since it first came on the air in 1993. And it wasn't until within the last maybe 3 or 4 years, I have become a Super Sentai fan. And that is actually due to Ranger Danger, due to Michael and Matt. And it's really more recently that I've been checking out a lot more Sentai, Super Sentai. And because of that, I've jumped to Kamen Rider. Actually, somebody asked me the other day what Kamen Rider is. And the way I describe it, Kamen Rider, for anybody who doesn't know, anybody listening to this for the first time and who doesn't know what Kamen Rider is, I would describe it as, so if Power Rangers is the dumbed down version of Super Sentai, because let's be honest, it kind of is, Super Sentai would be made for about the tween crowd. So, you know, the 10 to 13, 14 year olds, for the most part, and maybe younger. Kamen Rider, I feel like, would be made for the older teens, young adult crowd. And that's just from my experience with Kamen Rider Gav, and my little experience with the other few Kamen Riders I have watched. Well, yeah. So, because Kamen Rider, in my eyes, and if you are a Kamen Rider watcher, if you know Kamen Rider and you're listening to this, please reach out, let me know. I'm probably wrong, more than likely, and I will, honestly, I will happily admit I'm wrong. So if you want to reach out, please reach out to me. Twitter, Instagram, social media, comic book rundown, let me know. But Kamen Rider is more adult, because they have no problem killing these, like, the villain. You know, whereas Power Rangers, they never actually say kill. They have to defeat them. And I know you can't hear my air quotes, but I'm using air quotes. Super Sentai, they are definitely defeating them, and they are killing them. They're stopping them. Kamen Rider, they are 100% killing them. Kamen Rider Gav was killing his family members left and right. They were taking them out. But that's being said, so that is, in what my opinion is, Kamen Rider is more for the young adults. That's what it's aimed for. Now, mind you, I am a 40-plus-year-old watching this, but I've also, like, the Super Sentai stuff, the Tokusatsu shows. So I like this.
Moving on, though. So my introduction to Kamen Rider, honestly, and this is really before I even knew it, I guess would be with Power Rangers back in the day. It would have been, what, season 3 of Power Rangers, and they had, because it would have been in Super Sentai, and that crossover back in the day, Power Rangers had that crossover on the show, and they obviously did whatever writing they did to make it work for the show, and it was Kamen Rider, but I never knew that. So that would be my first experience with Kamen Rider, unbeknownst to myself. My next experience would be the Shin Kamen Rider movie. And that Shin Kamen Rider movie, that was awesome. I really, really enjoyed that. And I know a good friend of the network, I mean, he's on the network, Chuck, he has informed me of what we're going to be watching for season 2 of Getting Franchised, and that is going to be one of the things we're going to be watching. So, looking forward to watching that again, because that was a good movie. So that is my next experience with Kamen Rider. And then it moves into Kamen Rider Gav. And it was one of those where I started watching it because Michael and Matt over at Range of Danger watched it for their Patreon. And when they do their show for Range of Danger, I like watching their show with them just because I like to know what they're talking about. And so, like, I'll watch it. And so then when they discuss the show, I know what they're talking about. And so that's what I did. They said they're going to be covering like 2 episodes of Gav. And then I watched the 2 episodes of Gav. And so now I knew what they're doing. And then I didn't watch it for a few months, and then I needed something to watch at the gym. So I'm like, well, I'll just put this on. And I just basically burned through it over the next like month, maybe month and a half, and watched it until the end. Like literally, I hit episode 49 the Saturday before episode 50 aired. So I was able to watch the last episode the day it aired. And I'm not gonna say I was sad. Like, it was really good episode. I really enjoyed that series. So that's my last knowledge of Kamen Rider. I guess I will say I've seen the first 2 episodes of Kamen Rider Geats. Because again, Ranger Danger watched the first 2 episodes of Kamen Rider Geats. So I may go back eventually and watch that. That being said, though, my plan for this show, Kamen Rider Working Title, until I get a title for this, is to eventually cover other Kamen Riders. Just right now, Kamen Rider Zets is what's out. So that's a new one. So that's what I'll be covering for the time being. And maybe there'll be a moment where maybe I'll have 2 episodes a week for this. That's going to be a future Joe issue. But right now, I'm just going to do 1 episode a week covering the most recent episode of Kamen Rider Zets. And we'll go from there. So let's get into the episode itself. You can watch, if you haven't yet, you can watch the show live, actually, over on the Shout Studios YouTube channel and their Twitch channel, Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific time, 10 p.m. Eastern, no, 7:30 Pacific time, 10:30 Eastern time, Saturday night on YouTube. I know they're also doing it on Twitch as well, I think, at the same time. And then they're going to be repeating it on Sundays at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern. And then again on Fridays at, I want to say 5 p.m. Eastern or Pacific, and then 8 Eastern. That Friday time, I can't remember. It might be 4 and 7. But either way, 3 times to watch it over on YouTube and Twitch live. At the same time, there's also other ways to watch it online, if you know where to look. Be honest, I like to watch the stuff on Zokaj. I think that's how you say it. Z-O-K-A-J. And sometimes on their sister site, Kozage? Kojaz? I don't know how to say that one. But no, that's where you can find them. So if you want to go watch it, go ahead and go over there. If you don't, if you just want to hear my breakdown of it, that's cool. So yeah, let's go ahead and get into it, because this one is a lot of fun. So it starts out with this celebrity that was kidnapped by this crime syndicate. The celebrity, her name is Nem, and she was she's been kidnapped, and this crime syndicate is basically holding her for ransom, and they want, instead of just getting a ransom from a single person, they're having other regular people do it. They're crowdfunding this ransom, and they want to get, I want to say, 10 billion yen. And once they get that, they'll release her. But once they get the 10 billion yen, they decide to take the money and then kill her. Which is obviously not what you want to do, but they're also live streaming it. And, what are you going to do if you don't know their location? Enter secret agent number 7. He comes in, and he's actually hiding as one of the crime syndicate people. He grabs a knife and he cuts the ropes that's holding her and releases her. And then he goes and starts attacking all of these criminals. He pulls out his gun, starts firing. And one thing that was really kind of interesting is that he's using rubber bullets to take them out. And I guess the rubber bullets are knocking them out, which, I'll be honest, I've never been shot with a rubber bullet, so I don't know how hard they are. They hurt. But I will say that there are a few moments where, and it's a rubber bullet when one shot hits somebody in the forehead and you see it bounce off his head. And I'm pretty sure that probably knocked him out, because even from an impact, a full shot from a gun, rubber bullet is probably going to hurt. So either way. So she gets rescued. Fighting ensues. At one point, he is actually protecting her from the gun. Like, he's able to protect her around this room that they're in until a shotgun gets pulled out, and then they get separated. He is still able to hold his own, but the boss of the crime syndicate grabs her and takes her on the roof of the building and throws her off. Seven jumps out the window and catches her before she hits the ground. Now, this is where things get a little weird, because when they first showed the building, it was this long, mansion-ish building, 3 stories high. And so when he threw her off, the building seemed to have grown a little bit. But when Seven jumped out the window, it became a bunch of skyscrapers. I'm not sure. So things are a little weird here. But it gets explained here, because once he grabs her and they roll back into the same room, and he saves Nem, of course. He does a cool little shot to the boss through a door. And he tells Nem his name as Secret Agent 7. And they're about ready to kiss. And then this girl pops up. And basically yells at him to wake up. And we see that this whole thing was a dream. And we are introduced to the protagonist, Baku Yoruza. Yoruzu. There we go. Baku. And the person who woke him up is his sister, Minami. She's actually mad because he was supposed to make breakfast. And actually, she's also mad because her sweater was supposed to be dried flat. And it looked like he must have thrown it. Either he hung it up or he threw it in the dryer. Either way, she is not happy with him. But she's also, you know, is upset that he's having these dreams about helping people. Because that's all he wants to do. He wants to help people. And it's something that he's wanted to do for mainly his whole life. What we see here is a moment where she basically tells him to stop, because it is something. We see a couple flashes where he is always getting hurt. Like, there's news articles of him at many different ages of him getting hurt because he was helping people. Something happened and he got like struck by lightning, or he got hit by like a bike accident or something. So what Baku does, I mean, he's a very helpful guy. That's all he wants to do. He wants to help people. So he's very kind-hearted, and that is awesome. But in doing so, he's never looking out for himself, which is not, I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but it's something that you definitely want to, I mean, not do constantly. But ultimately, she just wants him to, you know, keep the dreams, these dreams of helping people, to bedtime. Like, he needs to really get a real job, basically, because he doesn't have a job. So what we see next is him at an employment office. And it's actually kind of cute because the scene is him having, like, making faces, playing with this kid that's there until he gets called back for the job search. And he gets asked what job he wants to do. And he's like, secret agent. And the guy's like, I'm sorry, what? And he's like, well, I just want to help people. And so, yeah, the guy's like, okay, well, I think we can find you something. But the interesting thing is while he is being offered jobs, while the agent is looking for jobs for him, that little girl walks off with a guy, some guy. And then the mother comes out looking for that girl. And Baku clocks it. And so he realizes, wait, because he had saw her walk out with the guy, because the guy asked the little girl about going to get another drink, because her drink, her little juice box was empty. So he asked her about going to get another one, and he takes her hand and they go walk off. Apparently, the mom did not talk to this girl about stranger danger. But Baku saw this. He registered it. And then when the mom comes out looking for her daughter, he's like, wait, that guy wasn't her father? And then so he apparently just rushed off, and he gets outside, sees the girl walking to the van with this guy. And he's like, I gotta stop him. And he runs across the street. At that same time, we see the lighting changes. We see this guy in red. And it's, so we're indicating that this is like a nightmare scenario. And he says something about that. Like, he literally says, make the nightmare come true. And then this car starts driving and swerving toward Baku. And it actually ends up hitting him, and he gets thrown across the car and onto the road. The thing is, what we do see is I noticed this, I think, the second time I watched it, because I was very concerned the first time because I was focused more on Baku. But the second time I watched it, I do see the guy running off and then the mother going to the girl. Like, the girl is just standing there confused, but the mother does go and get the daughter. So I did enjoy that. That was nice. But yeah, this is a SUV, this Hummer, hits Baku, and he is hurt. He's damaged. We do get introduced to this next character. His name is, what was his name? Tetsuya Fujimi. Yep. And he was walking by. He almost got hit by the car himself, but he missed it. But he goes over there. He makes sure that Baku's alive. He gets somebody to call the ambulance, and he goes over. He like rips open the door to confront the guy driving the car, and there's nobody driving the car. The car is empty. It literally drove itself. So that's very mysterious. Next scene we have is Minami running to the hospital and getting to Baku. And basically, like, she's happy her brother's alive. She's upset when he said that he was just, you know, following his dream of saving people, though. And this is where she brings up him always trying to save people and his bad luck with doing that. And we see the reports, like I said earlier, and how every time he does it, it turns into a nightmare. And that, you know, maybe he should just leave it to his dreams, because apparently that's all the dreams is the only time that he can actually save people. And it's, you know, and I honestly don't remember if I mentioned it earlier, but because he can have lucid dreams, he can make his dreams whatever he wants, and that's why he's always a secret agent saving people. And, you know, so Minami is a little jealous of that, but, you know, that's just, it's just what it is. We go back to Tetsuya, and we are introduced to Officer Nasuka Nagumo. She is part of the Paranormal Affair Department's Paranormal Affairs Division. And she meets up with Tetsuya, like I said, and they're investigating the scene. And he explains that this is part of what is called the Black Case Files, where it's mysterious incidents with no explanation. This was a car accident with no driver. Definitely a mysterious case with no explanation. And there have been a lot of cases like this, and it just keeps increasing over the years. And so he explains that they have found that these incidents are caused by nightmares, and he's calling them nightmares, and they're beings that appear to people while they sleep and induce them to commit violent crimes. And at that moment, we go back to Baku, and he wakes up with a nightmare standing in front of him. And this is a gun nightmare. And actually, I think it looks pretty cool. I think it, the suit looks awesome, technically, but that's me, I think. Yeah, he starts attacking Baku. Like, Baku rolls out of the bed and, like, skitters away, tries to run away. And ultimately, like, he runs out the door out of his room, and there's nobody in the hall. And then he runs down the hall into another door, ends up, I can't remember if he ends up in the stairs at this point or if he ends up in his room, but basically he starts running through a bunch of different rooms and stairways, and he finally figures out that he is in a dream. Like, he opens up one door and he finds Nem again, tied up. And I should mention, Nem is a character in real life. Like, she is a celebrity in real life. When he was walking to the job interviews, she is, like, on the advertisements that he walks by. So she is a real celebrity. So I definitely think it's a character that he will meet in the future down the line, and he will become, I'm not going to say, like, romantically involved with, but definitely friendly with as the show progresses. I mean, who knows? Maybe she'll become a Kamen Rider at some point. If I've learned one thing about this show, there's always more than one Kamen Rider on the series. So, I mean, Gav had three. Geats had 12? I don't know. Like I said, I only watched the two episodes, and they had a lot. So, yeah. So he's running through. He, like I said, he gets to the room. Nem is tied up again, similar to his dream. And then the gun nightmare shows up. He's like, you're not gonna run anymore? And Baku's like, yeah, no, I just realized what this is. I'm in a dream. And if I'm in the dream, that means I fell asleep. And I control my dreams. And so when he stands up, he's dressed in his code number seven, either way, outfit. And he's like, I'm an invincible agent. Pulls out his gun, starts shooting, but the nightmare, like, had disappeared and popped up behind him, kicks him across the room. And I thought this was cool, because he comes up and grabs his Baku's arm, and it starts to, like, turn to smoke, which is very freaky. And then it pops back into reality, kind of. And Baku's just like, what the heck? And it kind of threw him off. He's like, this is my dream. Why can I not control it? And the nightmare is just like, yeah, maybe your dream, but, like, you're in trouble, dude. I'm sorry. Well, he's not really sorry. But it gets to a point where he starts being, the nightmare is just kicking Baku's ass. And Baku is kind of afraid. He starts running away. And it gets to a moment where he's in, like, a closet of sorts. And the nightmare is basically taunting him, telling him, like, he is worthless. And while he's in there, he gets bombarded from, like, the little girl, from his sister, from, I think, even Nem, basically telling him that, like, your dreams are you can't do it. But eventually, what happens is, while that is happening, I guess I should say, he ends up flatlining in the real world. Like, he, his body, like, his heart stops. And then in his dream, the world begins to crumble, and the nightmare tells Baku that, you know, that he needs to face his ultimate nightmare. But then, Minami's, his sister's words, about Baku being thankful for having survived so many close calls starts going through his mind. And Baku says that he is alive, but the nightmare says that there is nothing to drive him. But Baku believes that he can at least make his dreams come true in his own mind. And when he says that, he knows that his mind is better. Like, he knows his mind better than anyone, even though the nightmare is trying to tell him that Baku is afraid of living in a reality. Baku's just like, nah, I'm taking control of my mind back. I'm taking control of my dream back. And then he gets pulled into this new location, and he meets with Commander Zero,
who is the head of the code, secret code agency. And Agent Commander Zero gives him the a briefcase. And in that briefcase, he gives him a driver. The driver is similar to like any morpher for any other Kamen Rider. One thing I like about this though is that it, you know, most all the Kamen Riders, at least all that I'm aware of, it's a belt across their waist. This one is across his chest. And as soon as he puts it on, so like he gets out of this room and goes and faces off against the Nightmare again, he puts on this driver and it snaps around him because he has accepted the mission to save Nem. And as soon as he does that, his heart in the real world starts beating again. And so then he grabs a what is called a capsum, slaps it into the driver, and activates it. And then he henshins, transforms, into Kamen Rider Zetsu. Now, this costume, I do like it. It looks like, and I mean, if you look at the cover image for this episode, it will be what the costume looks like. I thought it looked very alien-like, and then obviously at the end of Gav, when we meet this, who we know now as Baku, but when we meet this character, there was an alien, that little ship that showed up and, like, shocked him. So, like, it got me thinking of alien things. But there's, like, a little alien motif here in my eyes. Either way, it's really cool. Black, green, red highlights. I think it looks cool. So, but yeah, he starts fighting the Nightmare. And he is basically just, he kicks this Nightmare's ass. And once he destroys the Nightmare, which it does go back and forth. The gun Nightmare, ironically enough, doesn't seem to ever get the upper hand. Baku, or I guess Zetsu, since he's transformed, for whatever reason, is able to just overpower this Nightmare almost completely. Even every time, like, there's one point where the Nightmare, like, throws a ton of chains around him, and it captures Zetsu, but because it's his dream, Zetsu is able to turn it around on the Nightmare, on the gun Nightmare, and tosses him through like a bunch of different elemental settings. And it is like, after that point, he goes and he delivers what he said as a Rider kick and impact banish finisher. There we go. And, you know, destroys the Nightmare. And then what we end up with him waking up in the hospital, because the mission is done. Mission is done. Nem comes out, but then she disappears because, again, it's a dream. He wakes up in the hospital. Minami is at his side. He tells her about his dream, about him saving people. And Minami is just happy she's okay. Or he's okay. With this, though, we do see, like, she goes to leave just so he can get some rest. But outside of the room is Tetsuya and Nasuka. Because they believe that there's a Nightmare attached to him. I should say Tetsuya believes there's a Nightmare attached to him. Nasuka has no, she doesn't believe in what he's selling.
And so after Minami walks out, Nasuka is just like, you know what? I'm done with this. I mean, I know she says that now. I don't think she'll be done with it. But she hands back all the information she has to Tetsuya and just leaves. But while Tetsuya is looking in at Baku, we get that weird guy with the red hue come walking down the hallway. Now, mind you, when he's doing this, there's nobody else around him. So we can infer that he is in the nightmare world, because what he does, as he's walking by, he knocks over a vase of flowers and they hit the ground. But when we're back in the real world, Tetsuya looks around and he looks and sees there's that vase and it's still just sitting there. So I don't know if he felt a presence there. So I know the name of the guy because I looked at the wiki, but we haven't been introduced to his name, so I'm not going to say his name. But either way, ultimately what's going on is the nightmare world, dream world, if you will, and the waking world seem to be closing in. So there's going to be a moment where the worlds are going to collide. And it's probably going to be sooner rather than later, because Baku sits up and he opens up his robe and the driver is attached to his chest. And Tetsu even looks in and he sees the driver. He sees the device, the mission control device, and the capsule. And he's just like, what the heck is that? So Baku realizes that maybe this might not have been a dream after all. So that's how we end the episode. It was, like I said, I really enjoyed it. I really liked it. I'm really excited to see what happens. I will say that while watching the show on the YouTube page, somebody had speculated, and I can't remember who said it, because if I did, I'd give him a shout out. So this is not my idea, but somebody has speculated that the driver, the reason why it's on his chest is because it is keeping his heart beating. You know, and like I said, most Kamen Riders have their belt. It's a belt, you know, across their waist. This is across his chest, which is different. It's not what we normally see. So I do like that they are doing something different. I don't know. It's just cool. I mean, I know Gav did something different. Gav, the belt was a part of him. It was like his thing, versus like other belts that you attached. So either way, this is interesting. So I'm still working on some things to do. I don't know if I want to give this like rating system. I don't know if I want to do ranking system. I don't know. Honestly, being the first episode, I'm going to give this a pass. I'll come back to that. But let me know if you hear this and you would like me to do like some sort of like close out rating system, ranking system for the villains, for the episode kind of a thing, you know, hit me up. If you would like to come on the show and talk about it, the episode with me, also hit me up, you know, social media, Comic Book Rundown, on all social medias. You can email us comicbookrundown@gmail.com. I will check both of those, but yeah. So, either way, this is the first episode. And because this show is a weekly, I'm going to be doing this weekly for the next probably 50 weeks, however many times. Now, I do know, so similar to the Super Sentai, Kamen Rider does movies and specials. So unless Shout Studios puts them on the YouTube channel, don't think I'm going to be able to cover those. until they show up online somewhere. So that is going to be problematic, because unless they, most often than not, those specials don't have a bigger connection to the show overall. I say that, and yet, while I was watching Gojuzer recently, I do believe the most recent Tegasaur the Resurrection actually had a connection to the most recent episode of episode 29 of Gojuzer. But I'm not entirely sure. I don't know. I didn't see that movie, so I can't tell you if it did or not. But either way, that's all I have for this episode. So let me know what you guys think. Let me know if, like I said, if you would like to come on and talk Kamen Rider with me, come on and talk the episodes with me, just hit me up. Let me know. So, Comic Book Rundown on all the social medias, comicbookrundown@gmail.com. You can also check out the other shows on the network. Every Friday, we do Rundown Reviews, where we cover a comic book movie or a movie on somebody's choice, depending on the birthday, or if it's Star Trek or Star Wars, depending. We've got a whole long list of movies. Last Saturday of the month, we do actual comic books, covering comic books. I think this month I'm going to be talking about Booster Gold and Superman, a little combination there. And then the last Sunday of the month, myself and Chuck, we do a show called Getting Franchised, the latest and greatest of movie franchises. In this first season, we're doing horror films. We've done a ton of different ones where we've gone over movies like the original Hellraiser and the remake in 2022, Child's Play and the remake, both Dawn of the Dead's, Pet Semataries, My Bloody Valentine's. We've got The House on High Hills, the original from 59, the remake from 99. Actually, that's coming out next month. Next month? This month. Yes, this month. Actually, that's coming out this month. Candyman. We did both Candyman remakes. We've done a great... Actually, last month, we did Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, and Popeye the Slayer Man. Those are some fun ones. But yeah, we've done a lot of good-ish movies, horror movies. I'm not going to say that for next month, because those were bad. And we've got a few good ones left in the chambers. Going to say that because this was, like I said, a gun nightmare. Figured that would line up. But no, this was a fun recording, and I do look forward to seeing what the show has to offer. So, with that being said, thank you all for listening, and we will see you next week with more Kamen Rider.